Hello everyone, my name is Manny and I'll be your host here at Confessions of an Airline Employee. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am very excited to be recording our very first episode. So first off, I want to introduce myself to and let you guys know a little bit about myself. I have been working with the U.S. Legacy Carrier for about 8 years, going on 9. I started when I was just 18 years old. So I was able to travel before I could even have my first legal drink. It was a long journey to hire you in, but it was definitely worth the wait. But you definitely have to be passionate about the airlines to be able to deal with the ever fast and changing pace of it. Not one day is the same, so that's what makes our job very interesting and very unique. It is definitely not your typical 9-to-5 job, because we have too many variables. Sometimes in a day we have a weather delay, we have a maintenance delay, you know, there's even a passenger walking in the door. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get that day. So everything is different. Every day comes a different challenge, but we're so used to having issues coming in a blink of an eye. So as they come, we resolve them and then we carry on like business, like nothing ever happened. So sometimes adrenaline does rush through you and passengers do piss you off. And then you think, once you cooled off, and then you think, oh, what could I have done differently? Because, you know, passengers do that. They try to get you upset and test your patience a lot. So luckily I am very patient, and it does take a lot for me to get upset. So passengers sometimes end up more mad because of how calm I am, or at least my demeanor, because inside, you know, sometimes they tell you certain things that really do get you upset. But obviously you can't show that, you can't reflect that you're upset. You still have to keep this calm, professional demeanor. So that's what I do. So in a way we're good at that. So for any of you guys that are in the industry and that are listening, I'm sure you can relate. For those of you that are not, just a word of advice, just be nice and smile. Even if you miss your flight and it is your vacation, I totally get it. But we will always take care of you. I promise. We will always take care of you. Just be nice and, you know, don't go over the top, and we'll take care of you guys. Anyways, guys, that's enough about me. Let me introduce you to a very special guest, Mr. Quebec. Thanks for joining us tonight. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm hanging in there, taking things day by day, as we all are. How about yourself? How's the show come along?
Oh, you know, episode one. I'm excited to start this new journey on this podcast, and I'm glad you're here to join us on this special episode one.
I'm honored to be your first guest star. So thanks for having me.
Of course, Quebec. So of course, everybody wants to know what you do and how it is to be working for the airline industry. So Quebec, tell us a little bit about yourself and how it is to work for a legacy carrier within the airline industry.
Well, I've been in the airline industry for 3 years. The current airline I work with, it'll be 3 years in October since I've been there.
And congratulations, Quebec.
Thank you. It's been a long 3 years. And like you said, every day it's something different. The airline industry is not your typical 9-to-5 job. And with anyone, and whether you're a flight attendant or if you're on the ramp, or like with myself, I'm at the ticket counter. I check in all the guests. I'm at the front of the house, you know, so you come in, get your boarding pass, you drop off your bag, more than likely you're going to run into me. So I see thousands of people daily. And it's just insane, just the magnitude of what impact I have with seeing the world literally move right before my eyes. It's crazy.
Yeah, I could imagine. I mean, we deal with this on a daily basis. Some of the passengers that come through the door, sometimes you can't even walk through those lobbies.
Yeah.
So with all that's going on right now, how has it changed for you?
It's It's honestly, it's very sad how quickly things went south. You know, when COVID came to the US and when the airlines were making all these changes, it's normally a very busy time for us. Spring break, you got the colleges, they're going to the beaches, Cancun, Hawaii. You got the high schoolers traveling with their families on their own spring break vacation, seeing family across the country. It struck us at a time where it's normally a lot of movement. It's a lot of vacationing, but you know, thanks to COVID, all these countries they shut down their borders and our planes became empty, our lobbies are desolate, the airport is just so empty. Normally I help a couple hundred people a day, and when I was working in April when this first started, I would probably at max help like five people if I was lucky. So it's a bit of a
Definitely,
change.
definitely a big impact, yeah.
Yeah, it's and it what's even crazier about it is how fast all of it happened. And you're talking about on a day-to-day basis, we were losing flights, giving people refunds. It was just you would blink and just passengers were gone. There was just no work. It was very sad for all of us.
Yeah, and then sometimes there's things that we have to do as employees to try to assist, and which most of us did in taking a leave, and but we're gonna be front and center when all this comes back. So one of the other questions I wanted to ask you is, so how what was the process to get hired into a US legacy carrier like the one you work for, and how you want to walk us through how long did it take, how what exactly did you have on your resume to for them to have you on board?
Well, so my current airline employer, this is my third job. And I was fortunate because when I got hired, they really needed a lot of people. At the time, they were doing this big expansion at the airport I work at. So I applied for numerous US airlines, but this particular one that I work for, they were the only ones who really gave me a shot. And, getting my foot in the door with a carrier. So the process, it was tedious. It was long. It was a lot of different interviews, and getting through those interviews and getting to the final stage, which is a giant interview, that was very nerve-wracking. And I had to on a Sunday, man, I had to get up like 6 in the morning to head to the airport. Meet like 20 or 30 other people that I was competing with for the position. I didn't even know how many people they were hiring. It was a lot, but I was very happy to have gotten the job offer. But even then, it didn't stop there. It probably took almost 2 months for me from getting the job offer to actually starting. Because for anyone that's looking to join the aviation industry, there's a lot of background checks to go through because, you know, it's not necessarily a government job, but it's a government type of place. You know, got to do the background check, got to make sure you're clear, you know, your job history. They make you do a 10-year history of what schools you went to, addresses. It's a lot. And
I mean, just for safety, safety and precautions for everybody. You have access to these to a industry that is very vulnerable to I mean, not vulnerable, but I would say that a lot of like terrorist groups or people like, they I mean, look at what happened at 9/11. They were after the airlines and to use the airplanes as, as weapons. And it's sad and unfortunate, but for everybody's safety, I think that's kind of why we go through all of that. But yeah, it's definitely challenging. It's because there's a lot of security clearances that we have to clear, from Homeland Security to background checks, like you were
Yep,
saying.
yep.
So, and that kind of adds up to the to kind of like the tense, like part of the hiring process, I would say. Because I remember when I got hired in, it was 1,000 candidates, because they advised us it was 1,000 candidates and only 10 people were going to get hired. So that was definitely nerve-wracking, because you walk in the door and they give you their spiel, and then kind of intimidating, and they're like, okay, well, thanks for interviewing. Well, we'll see. We'll call you back. And you half the time, whenever you hear that, you'll call you back. Sometimes you don't. And then for me, it was a whole year process, and but here I am.
Yeah, it varies. Like I said, it varies for a lot of people. I was one of the lucky ones because they needed a lot of people at the time. But
Right.
if the job offer is conditional, if you don't pass the background, you won't get the job. It's so
Right.
every step of the way before you get your badge, before you're able to clock in, you really have to be on your P's and Q's. You got to know what you're doing. You got to know what the information that they're asking you for. You got to have it ready, front and
Right.
center. You don't let an opportunity like this slip by. I'm so happy to be in this industry. It's crazy how
Yep,
much my life has changed.
even during current times.
Yeah, it's like we were saying, nothing, every day is different. And COVID has proven to be the biggest challenge in my aviation career.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how all of this plays out. I
Right.
honestly think that even though COVID, it's wreaking havoc on a lot of industries right now, I feel like the aviation industry, where it's like the backbone of transportation,
Right. I
it's going to
agree.
be it's going to be a necessity. And once these countries start opening back up and vaccines come out or treatments come out and people have more trust,
Right.
it's gonna pick up again. Because look
Yeah.
at what's going on. All these lockdowns, people are staying at home. People are gonna want to make up for lost time.
Right. And then
There
kind of piggyback on that. It's like, yeah, I definitely agree on that. I think once people lose that fear of the virus itself, I think they'll start coming back and feeling comfortable. Like, hey, I could go see my aunt. I could go see my mom in New York, or I could go travel internationally or stuff like that. I think once they lose that fear, I think they'll be back and the industry will be back to semi-normality, but I know it's going to take a couple of years for it to go back to how it was.
Yeah.
But like for me, I love the airline industry. I love everything about it, and that's why I've been there how long I've been. It's kind of like a loyalty to the industry. It's like you don't want to go anywhere else. You're intrigued by what you do and you love what you do on a daily basis. So,
It's definitely not something that's easy to just walk away from. That's
right.
For sure.
Yeah, 'cause like for me, that's the like I was 18 years old when I started with the airlines. I was a kid and this airline took a chance on me and allowed me to have a job, and they have molded me until of what I do now, like I've had great mentors along the way. And I kind of grew up in with this airline. So, seeing them like struggle because of COVID, it kind of hits harder for me, I would say. Or I'm sure, I mean, everybody's getting hit hard, but like I have some type just have a like it's kind of like kind of having like somewhat like I don't know how to explain it, but
I know
it's
what you mean. It's
like a
just,
family. It's like family to you.
yeah.
You don't want to see family struggle same way.
Crumble and just, and It's just astounding how quickly things have changed. It's
Oh, definitely.
gone from March to April to May, and we went from having full flights to just struggling to even
Oversold flights.
Yes, the oversells. Oh my God. Well, I pray for an oversold flight soon. Like that's how it is right now. Just like we used to complain about it all the time, all the oversells and just the process of it all. But now there's so many of us who are ready to get back into that world to,
Right.
to just get back to some type of normalcy because everything's just up in the air.
Right.
But in this
Literally.
industry, that's what we're used to.
Right.
We're used to challenge, we're used to change. So this is a big challenge, but it's no different from what we normally go through.
Right. Yeah, we always find a way to overcome our challenges day in
Yep.
and day out, what kind of gets thrown at us, and we only have a matter of seconds to react. And
So it's a lot.
and this is no different. So I think our upper leadership is doing a great job at handling things with the airline. So
Yeah.
I think we're definitely in good hands. The
I'm
industry
com
is
I'm
in good hands.
confident. I'm
Oh, me too.
confident that we'll come back stronger.
Of
I
course.
feel like, listening to the media and the news, I feel like some of it could be overhyped, but it what could I say? It's
Yeah.
it's just like they look at the airlines, these big corporations, and then you have us airline employees. We're there. We're in the front lines. It's like, okay, so we look at these news stories. Where do we stand? Or like they have these conversations. Where are we in these conversations? Are they good? Are they bad? We're like everything is just,
And especially how they come on the media and say, oh, well, the airlines are gonna lay off about 30-40% of their staff, and you're like, wait, I'm one of those. I'm one of those percentages. And then you hear, and then you see people on the media, it's like, yeah, I hope they go bankrupt because they were buying stock buybacks. And then you're like, you don't
It's
understand that we have families and we have people to take care of. And for you to wish something upon an airline, like you're like, whoa, like that's messed up.
interesting seeing these people's comments like, oh, I hope these people go bankrupt, and it's like
Just kidding.
just because of some things that are going on. I feel like people don't understand the impact of the airline industry, not
Back.
just with the employees, but with everything, the cargo,
Yeah.
and just being able to go from point A to point B, going to meetings, going to tournaments, going to
Right.
family events. It's
Sporting event. I mean, and it goes back to everything. Like, okay, if you really think about it, the airline industry struggles, the hotel industry then will struggle
Yes,
because then you won't have any, you don't have the tourism coming in with on those airplanes to check into a hotel, to go watch a sporting event, to go to those tourist attractions.
to book those tours with the tour bus companies. Tour bus
Yep.
companies are doing bad right now because,
Yep.
there's no,
Uber.
there's just, it's, it all ties in to tourism
Yep.
and the whole freedom of movement, people going from country to country, traveling. It's
Right.
important. Life is not meant to sit still.
Right.
And that's another reason why I was happy to join the aviation industry because it was time for a change. I wanted to get a fresh look on traveling the world.
Yeah, no, and then we didn't, and that's definitely a good place to do it. So,
Yo, I have so many travel stories.
we are gonna go to that on this episode with you, Mr. Quebec. But I have to ask, I definitely have to ask. You have to have some stories of passengers wilding out or acting a fool. Do you have anyone, any story that kind of comes to mind of a time where a passenger really kind of got out of control, and that kind of you still have that.
I
I know you
have
have a lot, but give us one tonight.
so many, but this one's particularly my favorite one. I will never forget this.
Let's hear it.
I used to work in baggage service, and basically baggage service, what that means is, like, let's say you check in your bag, it doesn't show up, you come and see me. So the majority of the time, people were already on edge. They were already angry because, your belongings aren't.
Right.
She was going through a lot. She was coming from Miami, and she came to the office. She was crying, like extremely. She was hysterical. She was crying, saying
Wow.
that one of the flight attendants took her luggage and they were starting a fight with her, and that one of the passengers was trying to fight her on the plane. There was a lot to unfold with this story, and I was trying to piece together what was going on because she was all over the place. And there were other people in the office. She was yelling. She was, like I said, she was hysterical. It became a scene. And I had to step out of my shoes and just, like, be there for her and try to figure out what was going on. She kept saying that the flight attendants took her luggage, that they were going to kick her off the plane, and she had to move seats because a passenger was fighting with her. It was just a lot. So
Oh my
I
God.
asked for her baggage claim. She didn't have one. So we had to take a guess of what her bag looked like. And, well, not what it looked like, but just like where it was, where, like, what was going on. So,
So she didn't give like a brief description of what the
well,
baggage
she did,
was?
but like I said, she wasn't there in her right mind. And in the system that we were using, it's like if you lose a bag, it's in our system. There's a tag number. I asked for that. She didn't have it. But so I filled out her claim and we said we would find the bag and deliver it for her. And so as I gave her her receipt paper with
Yeah.
information, she pulls out this little bag tag in her purse. And I said, and me being the problem solver I am, because that's what you are in the industry, I said, "Ma'am, could I see that bag tag?" And she handed it over to me. I put the tag number in in our system, and it showed that the bag was gate checked and it had arrived on the carousel. Now, mind you, she didn't go to the carousel. She came straight to me. And I told her, I said, "Ma'am, why don't you go check the carousel and just double check and see." So 5 minutes later, she comes back crying and she's like, "Oh my God, my bag was there. Thank you so much." And me putting two and two together, her bag was gate checked. That's why the flight attendant took it from her. So you really
Wow.
gotta be a problem solver and go back and be Sherlock Holmes and figure out, okay, what happened? Let's figure out what's going on so I'm able to help you better. And I asked her for the tag number, but then again, she said she never had one. They didn't give her one, but they did. So that was my favorite. That was one of my best customer experiences because she was just all over the place. She was saying she was going to kill herself. It was a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, so that
Wow.
night I was baggage service agent slash therapist slash Sherlock Holmes.
And I'm sure you have to do that multiple times, not just for one
Multiple,
passenger.
yes.
And I'm sure there's days where you have to deal with that on a, not just one, but five
Yeah,
a day.
it's you got to fill many hats and fill many shoes.
Right, I'm sure. But that was it. That was definitely a good story, Quebec. So, last but not least, we have to have some travel tips from you. So,
One, what's your favorite destination that you've been in Quebec? What has to be your favorite as of right now? What's your favorite, and any recommendations you have for our listeners to get any insiders, how you pack, how let us know. Give us the rundown.
I'll start off international because I've never traveled outside of the country until I joined the airline industry. So that really opened up the doors for me. And my favorite place to go, my favorite place to be, it was the first place I ever went to out of the country. And I was dying to go to this place for the longest time. It was Paris, France. And Paris is just such a magical city. I've been there twice. I went last year and the year before. And Paris is one of those places where I can go back to and I will never get bored. It's extremely beautiful, the architecture and just being live, being out there and living in the moment. When I was first there and I was walking underneath the Eiffel Tower, I'm like, oh my God, am I really here? Is this it? Is like it's very surreal. So if Paris is one of my favorite cities, and I once COVID is all I'm said and done and things get back to semi-normal, I plan on going back to Paris and spending a couple more days there.
Yeah, maybe some of our listeners will reach out to us and maybe you could be their
Yeah,
tour guide.
I would love it. Paris is magical. I would say the best tip for Paris is to take it all in. Don't rush. Don't try to see everything all at once. Literally, pick a neighborhood, go for the day, and just really just look at the scenes, look at the cafes, the shops.
How many days do you recommend to go to really fully enjoy it?
Paris, it all depends on what you're going for, but I would say an ideal Paris trip, in my opinion, is like maybe 3 to 5 days.
Okay, that's
Yeah,
pretty
because
good. That's
you don't
pretty
want to
good.
overwhelm yourself and you also don't want to get bored too easily. But Paris is one of those places where you can take advantage of the neighborhoods, the different scenes, and just, live in the culture. And that's why I say 3 to 5 days, because it's all about what you want to do. Like, if you want to go to the Louvre or the Louvre, you're not going to see the Louvre, all of it, because seeing every painting takes months. So don't get that out of your head now. Don't try to rush it, because there's a lot of tourists that are disappointed. But definitely see your museums. Go to the Eiffel Tower and walk the neighborhoods. Walk the Champs-Élysées, the shops, and it's beautiful. Take lots of pictures. You will not regret it. Yeah.
Okay. And then what would you want to like what is your favorite thing to eat when you're in Paris? What do you go for? Tell us a little bit about what you eat, what you drink, your favorite transportation option. Uber, is it a train, is it a bus? Obviously it has to be the airplane ride
Of
in,
course.
but once you land. And what's your favorite? How do you get around the city? What do you eat? What do you drink?
So eating, I don't really travel to eat. I haven't really gotten that step yet in traveling. So don't, I'm not really the best with food options, but what I have heard is don't really eat at restaurants close to the major tourist attractions. They're tourist traps. It's not really authentic, Like when you go to the Eiffel Tower and you're in the neighborhoods around the Eiffel Tower, a lot of the restaurants, they try to lure you in. Don't go to those places. The one don't have the maitre d' approach you. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay. Yeah, but that's definitely.
So yeah, just stay away from the tourist trappy restaurants. They're you'll know which ones they are. They're the ones that are by the major tourist attractions. And how you can tell is if there's like a waiter or a maitre d' who's outside who's trying to lure you in. Those places, you want to kind of stay away from those because they don't really give you the authentic experience
Right.
of being in Paris. But
Okay.
as far as getting around, the best way, in my opinion, and a lot of people say they don't want to do it, they don't like public transportation, but the Paris Metro, it's efficient enough where you can go anywhere in the city to all the tourist attractions, no matter what the neighborhoods are, no matter what neighborhood you're in. It's just the train system is very, it's fantastic out there. And a lot of
Okay.
people start their Parisian trip on the train because when you get to the airport, you take the train from the airport into the city, the RER, the B. It's
Okay.
really efficient. Takes you right into the city center. You connect with the Paris Metro and you're on your way. It's amazing.
Yeah, because I personally hate public transportation here in the States. I hate it. I won't get on a bus. I won't get in a train because one, it takes so long. It's like I hate the uncertainty sometimes. So I don't like being late. But in Europe, the transportation is amazing. Like I
It's
get it. I get on the train. I get on the bus. So it's completely different. And in regards to safety, for those guests that haven't been to Paris, the safety. How do you feel about the safety when you walk around the streets or out of those tourist areas when you go to a coffee shop or something? Like, do you have any tips on how to be safe? What do you do with your passport, your wallet? Do you carry it around everywhere you go? Because
So,
some people like to put it in their hotel room. Some people like to carry it with them at all times. What do you do?
I like to keep the passport in the hotel slash Airbnb. I like to keep it there where it's safe. And most hotels, they have locks or like little safes where you can put your stuff in. That's
Yeah.
what I've learned. In terms of
Okay.
being out in the city, so I did a little research about Paris, and there's a lot of pickpocketing.
Really?
Yeah, but I took my precaution. I bought a money belt. It's like a fanny pack, but you hide it underneath your shirt. But I will tell you this, I never had an issue in Paris. It's because I think what happens with pickpocketing is that people, they make themselves targetable by looking like tourists. They have their cameras out. They wear flashy things like, the Parisians, the French, they're laid back. They're very, they're nice people. They're very laid back. It's hard to, it's not, it, what I'm saying is that it's not hard to make yourself stand out. So try to make yourself look as plain, as normal as possible. Like, don't have your cameras out, or just if you're on the train, just mind yourself. Don't stay too close to a group of people, because I heard if there's groups by you, they usually target some people or certain families, certain Americans. They know accents. They know these things. So try not to make yourself too known. Try to blend in. Like when I was on the train, the first thing I noticed is that everyone kept to themselves. They had their music, their earphones. They weren't bothering anyone. They weren't yelling or like certain obnoxious things that some cultures do. Like when I was at the Eiffel Tower one night, this lady, she was American. She was FaceTiming someone. She's like, hey, the entire park was quiet except for her. She was like, hey, look, it's the Eiffel Tower. I'm here. And she's like, you're making yourself a target. Just take it in. Just relax. It's a All big right. moment, I know, but you don't want to make yourself look like a target.
Right. No, I definitely agree. Try to don't bring out your flashy stuff or,
yeah,
you know, just don't go around with your Louis Vuitton bags and
just blend in as much as you can. They're the French, they're very, a lot of people don't like Parisians because they say they don't like Americans, but I never had a problem. They were nice to me.
Right.
Like I said, I minded my own business. I was doing my own thing. It was, and I went to Paris I went by myself. I was by myself for a couple of days, just wandering the city, getting back and forth on trains and just going around and exploring.
Okay.
That's what traveling is about. It's really just exploring the environment you're in. That's my biggest tip.
Okay. So for you, Paris is just you're just your place, your home outside of the US.
Yes.
Okay. If you had a top three destinations, number one, Paris, number two, what would it be, Mr. Quebec? What would it be?
Amsterdam would easily be number two.
Okay. What about number three?
Number three. Oh my god. It would be a tough one between London and Spain. Barcelona. I really love Barcelona. So I would say I'm gonna go with London on this one because what? I was only in Barcelona for a day. I didn't really get to experience the culture there as much as I wanted to. But
you're definitely missing out, man. Like my top three, Barcelona will be number one, hands down. I've been there multiple times. And my sister got married a year ago, just a little outside of Barcelona in this is another city next to Barcelona. It's called Tarragona, and it was amazing. So I have a lot of love for Spain. It's beautiful. Number two, I would have to is between Phuket, Thailand, and Australia. So
I have not done Asia, and it's ironic. It's ironic because this year was the year I was supposed to explore Asia, and look at what's going on.
Hey, you know, we have a full life ahead of us.
We do, and
we definitely will get to explore some more. So again, Mr. Quebec, thanks for coming tonight. Thanks for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Oh no, we're definitely gonna have you some more. You are gonna be in episode one. So again, thanks for coming in, and folks, thanks for listening tonight. And come fly with us and let us take you to new heights. So please sit back and enjoy the rest of these episodes on our podcast. So stay tuned for our next episode coming up. We'll try to have them every week as much as possible. So thanks again, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.